You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Hey, it's Nick from WoW Talk. For discussion about World of Warcraft, from the latest news to guild management, check us out every other Tuesday here on the Mash Those Buttons Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Dropping Spicy, a Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to Apex Legends, its development, and the community. I'm your host, Josh Kinder, also known as Kinder, and introducing Cody Treadaway, also known as Kurabara. I hope I didn't butcher your name.
Oh, it's fine. Everybody says Cody, but it's actually Corey.
Oh, Corey.
Don't worry.
I'll redo that.
Don't worry. My mom wanted to name me Cody, so it's fine.
Sorry, I just, you know, speed reading there to your name. I only know you as Kurabara, like, and every time I see your name, I think of Kurabara from
Yu Yu Hakusho. This guy right over there?
Oh, so it is based off of Kurabara from Yu Yu Hakusho. Nice. I just rewatched that series, actually.
It's real good.
As always, our intro music is done by Rifty Beats, that's R-I-F-T-I. You can find him on YouTube and SoundCloud. We are recording September 15th for release on September 16th. Wait, is it September? I don't fucking remember.
It is September.
Next 15th. Month's October.
Today's
yeah,
September.
Next month's October. I've had a really long couple of days. I was just telling Kurabara. We went to Six Flags yesterday for my boy's birthday, and a whole bunch of other shit happened today. And I had to drive from Atlanta back and then drive like 30 minutes from my mom's to my house and had the kids. It's just been a fucking weekend, guys. So I'm very tired, and we're also starting it an hour and a half late, thanks to Refused, and he didn't show up anyway. Oh, man. We have two topics for you today, kind of three. We're going to touch on another thing, too, briefly, because we don't have a ton of information. It's kind of hard to make a topic. So topic one, introducing Kurabara. We're going to find out what makes this man tick, get his podcast and gaming history, and some general information about the man himself. And after we introduce him and who he is and what he does, we're going to talk about our weeks in Apex briefly. We normally intro the show with that, but I think people would rather know about you and who you are before they hear how you did this week in Apex.
Getting all those wins.
And then we'll go into topic two, quote, esports ready, unquote. The Apex Legends, 500K, I think? Yeah, 500K preseason invitational in Krakow, Poland. We talked about this a few episodes ago, about it being, like, the biggest Apex tournament. It is a very major tournament. They have had some real pitfalls in this tournament, including bugs, glitches, and even sabotage. Oh, the drama unfolds.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
And along with that, we will touch on a bit of new information about potential new hero Crypto and some teasers that have come around. So let's get right into our first topic. So Kurabara, he is going to be our temporary co-host while we wait for a permanent replacement to ready up. We have someone in mind. It's still not set in stone, so if you are interested, you know, you can still get in touch. But we do have someone up to bat, and they are preparing their setup right now. And as soon as that's done and ready to go, we should have a permanent host. No real ETA on how long that's going to take. But for now, you can expect Kurabara to at least fill in for a couple of episodes.
Hi, guys.
Kurabara, you want to tell us about yourself, like how you got into the podcasting thing here?
Absolutely. I started getting into podcasts long ago with some of my buddies. They wanted to do a general podcast on PlayStation and their love for PlayStation. But it didn't go so well because everybody wanted to be very original. And since every topic was always taken, they never wanted to make any new content. So I just started to go out to see if I could help anybody else out. from there, I've been like helping out on MASH Network every so often. I've helped out with the old Destiny podcast with Jorge, as well as I helped record an episode with you that we lost a couple months ago, which wasn't so fun.
Right, right. And I don't know if you guys remember, I did briefly mention this in the episode that followed. We missed a week because we had planned to do a community episode. And that community episode featured Kuwabara and another of our Discord regulars, I guess it'd be the best thing. Another member of our Discord community. And we had a pretty good episode. You know, we had some content done out. You know, I figured, okay, you know, good, cool. You know, this is definitely releasable content. You know, there's nothing bad in it whatsoever. We had some good conversation going on and everything. And I go to upload it, and one of the tracks just got fucking wrecked. And I partially blame the online software that we used. I forget what the hell it's called at this point. I'm too tired to remember anything right now. It's going to be an awful episode because I'm going to be forgetting like the most basic shit. But one of the softwares that we use that basically records locally through a browser, you know, kind of deal. And I don't know if that corrupted it or if it was like a PC problem or what. Well, we lost audio, and it was, you can't just cut out an entire track from someone because it's just going to sound like, what the fuck is he talking about? You know, there's a lot of riffing that was missed.
So like we started on a topic, and then all of a sudden we start on something completely different with no transition whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, it wouldn't have made any sense, and it just would have been terrible content. I was really disappointed because, you know, people get tired of just hearing the same old people. Not that we've had the same person for more than like 3 weeks on this fucking show.
Hopefully we can get that to more consistent so we can have a more consistent rotation of how to riff on each other.
I know it. I feel like I'm like been the only guy that's, I'm going to be like the only OG on the show, kind of like Jao was with WPR.
Till I got you and Bob and then dude at the end.
Yeah,
but, it's good times.
God, I miss riffing with Bob. He's such a fun guy to podcast with. Bob, if you're listening, I miss you, buddy. I need to get you on the show. Even if you don't play Apex, just come and riff.
We love you.
we'll do like Outplayed's done like an After Dark series, you know. And I just listened to their first one. It's really fucking good. Like honestly, I kind of want to rip off of it really hard. And, you know, it's not an original concept, so it's not like I'm ripping directly off him, but. I'm saying right now, I kind of wanted to rip directly off it, like and dropping spicy After Dark.
And they always say the best compliments is that's the best sense of flattery. I can't speak.
flattery is the most sincere form, or what is it? No, it's imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. Is what you're
exactly?
Thinking.
That's what I was trying to.
We like show these guys like 100% of the time, like so much on this show. Like just go listen to them. Fuck us.
Well, I play with a bunch of their community members on the PS4 and they're all great, wonderful people.
Like they're right. Like, yeah, that's the whole point of doing the podcast anyway, is to, you know, build a community. So tell us a little bit about your like gaming history. Like, you know, kind of when did you start playing games? You know, what console are you on with Apex and stuff right now? You know, what games have you transitioned from into Apex, etc.?
Absolutely. Like my history started with a trash can when I found an NES in there and decided to figure out what it was and how to make it work.
No shit.
Yeah, I brought it home and I think it had Duck Hunt and Mario in it. So I couldn't get Duck Hunt to work because I didn't realize you needed to have the zapper. So I just started playing Mario a lot. And then from there, I just played everything from the Super Nintendo all the way up to the current systems of PS4, Xbox. I've had all the weird systems too, like the Oya and the Dreamcast.
Oh, God. My mom was working at KB Toys around the time the Dreamcast came out. And we were freaking out, flipping our shit, because there was like a football game that, you know, was going on like demo in the store, and you could like see the snow hit and like kind of like dissipate, you know, the big ass huge polygon snowflakes that look like shit now. Just, you know, they go on the field and they're like dissipate, you know, and it was like you could see the snow melting on the field, it's so realistic. And like I would like go to work with her occasionally because, you know, we grew up poor. And I would go to work with her sometimes, and I'd just sit there playing the fucking Dreamcast behind the counter all freaking day. And I almost beat Sonic Adventure in the KB toy, like straight up. Every now and then some kid would like come up and be looking at shit. And he's just like, I'm behind the counter playing. And he's like, can I go back there with you? My mom has explained no. You know, I passed somebody a controller. It was one day. I forget what game it was. It wasn't Bloody Roar. It was some fighting game that was like kind of like that. And sounds, I pass this. Bloody Roar was GameCube, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you might be right. I'm trying to think. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
There were a lot of good games on the Dreamcast. Like, almost all of them were real hits.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, really good classic hits. And I pass this kid, like, a second controller over the counter. So he's, like, on one side of the counter. I'm on the other side, like, crisscross, you know, sitting there. We're playing a fighting game and gamey toys. Oh god, those were the days.
Such good times. But
right now, what's your console of choice?
It depends on where I play at is where my friends are at. So currently I'm playing a lot of Apex on the PS4 because that's where all my buddies are playing it at.
Right.
But I'm now playing Borderlands 3 on the PC because other buddies are playing on the PC, so it's basically where my friends are is where I'll play because I'm comfortable playing both mouse and keyboard and controller.
That's a freaking feat, because I switched to PC, and I can no longer play a console shooter. It's just difficult. I can't do it. Like, I'm so bad. I went to my parents' house for Christmas last year. I used to be a fucking god at Halo, right? And I probably had put down console for like a year and a half or something at that point. Used to just school these kids constantly and went and just got my shit kicked in by, like, even the youngest of my brothers. I have four stepbrothers, by the way. Yeah, I just got my shit kicked in. I was kind of embarrassed a little bit. I was like, give me a mouse keyboard, I'll fuck you up.
You gotta show these kids nowadays. I know I'm always, like, trying to show my coworkers, or they're complaining that they're all getting too old to play video games, but they're all like young 20-year-olds, and I'm in over my 30s, and I'm schooling them in Apex.
Right.
Like, we're too old. We can't beat these teenagers. And like, I beat them all the time.
I don't, because I'm terrible at games.
What's more, just practice. It's not about age all the time. You do get slower, but as long as you know how to accommodate what your speed changes, you can still win.
I know. It's all about the time, too. Like, it's just a lot of time, you just don't have time to do shit, especially if you have hobbies like podcasting and shit. Just, like, eats up time, you know? Anyway, is there anything else about you that's, like, really interesting or anything? I know you're an old man.
Yeah, I'm an old man. Me and my wife still go out to anime and video game conventions.
It's a dream, though.
Oh, yeah. We love it. It's a lot of fun. Still build models, do comics. And I guess the only thing else I do is when I'm not doing nerdy stuff, I'm doing live event technologies, taking care of celebrities and bands and corporate meetings for Big Pharma.
So you're a professional roadie, is what you're saying.
I'm the boss of the roadies.
Oh, okay. King roadie. So you're Jack Black, pretty much.
pretty much. I'm usually Jack Black.
That's actually a really cool career. Like, my career sucks. I'm a fucking industrial mechanic. I build or fix machines and make batteries. Brr. With a bunch of rednecks. Yes, it's not interesting, like, you know, being a straight up, like, real life roadie.
Well, except the hours are rough because I can't exactly have a Monday through Friday schedule because events are all 24/7. So I've done multiple, like, third shifts and working 7-12 days a week, being very tired from all that. But I have met some really cool people, like met Arnold Schwarzenegger, DeGrayson, Mike Pence, Trump, and it's interesting work.
It is interesting. I don't know what the hell I'd do if I met like celebrities and was like doing shit for them like that.
It's basically keep your cool inside, be professional, and they'll treat you like a normal person.
Yeah.
Because if you get all weird about them, they get they get creeped out.
Yeah, they get super uncomfortable. Oh, I have met one celebrity. We have a local bar that's like inside of a Ramada Inn or some shit, some hotel. And we used to go there and play poker all the time. They had like a little local poker league. And we went there one night and it had been canceled. So like us and a few of the other guys, we were just hanging out having drinks, you know, since we couldn't play cards. And a couple of guys ended up leaving. It was just like me and my like two boys that I brought. And Billy Bob Thornton just strolls into this like Ramada Inn bar and, you know, looks completely unassuming, you know, wearing like an old t-shirt and some khakis or some shit like that.
Being a regular dude.
And he's being a, like a regular old redneck guy. And he goes in, grabs a bar stool, sits down with his pack of Pall Mall menthols, like some of the cheapest cigarettes that you can buy here, and orders a Michelob Light. And he's just chilling with a beer. And we're all thinking, like, there's no way. This is not who we think it is. And he lights up a cigarette. He's chilling. We're like, are you? He's like, yep. He's just so fucking chill about it. So we like get in the conversation with him, and you know, he's got like a bit of a drawl in real life, which is completely normal down south. And he was just fucking at home, you know, because there's just like a bunch of rednecks around here. Like the guy at the bar, our bartender that's worked there for forever and a day, is just, his name is Rusty. Like, how much more just stereotypical can you get? You know, in a southern town, in a fucking old broken down hotel. It's like it's cut out of straight out of a fucking movie scene. It's just real shit.
But usually the best place to get a drink.
A really cool guy. Oh yeah, it's a great place to get a drink. But I mean, he's just a really cool regular guy, like super nice too. But, that's beside the point. So let's move into our topic 1.5. How's your week in Apex been, man?
That's been. Besides, like, some of the normal bugs where shots won't register and I'll hit someone and just go right through their body, it's been great. Like, the other night, me and my buddy got on and we were just... Our third would always quit for some reason, so we had to keep two-manning to get our wins. But, like, I think the best one was when we were in the caves. We, team chased us in there. We got on top of that little building that has a little rock outcropping above it. Had our snipers ready. They didn't see where we went. And when they went past us, we sniped two of their team members. They got our R99s and finished off the last one.
Oh, man. We had a fight in that same area. You're talking about the one where like a Pathfinder can get on top of the rocks, really? Where is it near? I want to say it's kind of like the rocks are kind of around the edge of Skulltown.
Yeah, no,
is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about the actual cave. There's the new buildings inside caves. There's actually one that has a small rock that drops down, and it's just low enough where you can shoot past it.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, we had a fight earlier today. It was like at the edge of Skulltown, those weird rocks, and there was a fucking Pathfinder that got up there, and it was a spot because of the way Circle was. It was a spot that only Pathfinder could really get to. You know. And we're stuck because we can't push into Skulltown because there's a massive fight going on there and we can't take it with we were down one. He had a guy that dropped out. We couldn't take it with just the two of us with like four teams fighting. But we also can't take care of this fucking Pathfinder that's like posted on the rocks just raining hell on us. Every time we peek out, you know, he knew exactly where we were going to come from. There's nowhere else to go. So I guess he'd used all his grenades and he had like a longbow with a decent scope on it. And he was just pegging us every time, you know, we're doing whatever we can. You know, I tossed my caustic up there, you know, it just kind of fell. And you know, we used all our grenades and shit. We just could not get past this fucking guy. And out of fucking nowhere, I don't know how the shit she got up there, but a third party Wraith somehow or another portaled up there. Like, I guess she did the Rift portal, like ult. And then made it up the rock somehow and made it to the Pathfinder and engaged him. Downs the Pathfinder. I don't know where his team was. Downs the Pathfinder. He falls. And then she portals back down away. And we're like, what the hell just happened? So we start to push, right? And this Wraith portals out of wherever the hell the exit was, and then just runs straight up to us and pretty much says hi and just destroys the shit out of a solo. Like, this is one of those players, you know, you can sit there and watch him and you can tell, like, yeah, this is a high level player. What the fuck are you doing here?
Not one of the, you feel so dirty when that happens. It's like, oh no. Cause like, I'm seeing so many players out. I just, I see they like, they're looking to where you're about to be and just fire the bullet and you're already dead.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
I'm amazed by some of the skill. Even on console, I still see people who are able to just aim their shots and get right over there. I'm like, good on you. I deserve to die from that with that kind of accuracy.
There are a lot of people like that. Matter of fact, there was a clip that I shared, I think it was in our Discord, of a console Pathfinder player who, if I didn't see like the little heads up display stuff for console, I would have thought there's no fucking way. This is PC 100%. It's not. This guy's doing like some of the sickest movement, you know, not even like aim or anything, just the sheer movement ability this guy had on Pathfinder. And it ended up being like upvoted like crazy. If you go on our Discord, it should still be up there somewhere. But I mean, the guy was doing just moves that I never even would have thought of. I mean, like very, very meticulously practiced play, you know, kind of thing. But people are insane in this game, man.
It's like I had a Pathfinder a couple days ago. He kept killing all the teammates before we could even get to the enemies. They're like, "And you don't need us still." We're like, I think he ended with all of us had zero. He had 20. And we're like, "Thanks for letting us hang out with you."
Yeah, good game. Much. Thanks for the carry, bro.
Like, we tried to get it, but he just... like that.
Oh, man. Speaking of crazy people and high-level play, let's go ahead and move into topic two, quote-unquote, esports ready.
Dun-dun.
So, during the Apex Legends 500K preseason invitational in Krakow, a couple of things happened that were less than professional. One of the big ones that's become very upvoted on Reddit right now is a clip of a bug happening that costs one of the teams the match. And what it is, it's a bug that causes Watson fences to sometimes be invisible to enemies. And Team MVP, one of the guys he runs into a room and he's about to, you know, engage the enemy. You see nothing there. You know, there's absolutely no Watson fence or anything there on his screen. But he still takes the effect from the screen and he's like, ah, shit. And he has to back up and disengage. And by that time, you know, the enemy Watson knows what's going on, has detected him, and they collapse on him and squad eliminated. Really, really bad thing to happen in a tournament, you know. I've actually never seen this bug before now.
I've seen it a couple times on the PlayStation, but not too many times. It's like you look over there, you literally see the traps on the floor, and they're red, showing they're activated, but there's no beam. So unless you're really paying attention, you're just going to get hit.
Right. And the way it was set up, like, even if he... I mean, even if he'd been looking for the floor things, you know, he'd have to go through the door and take the damage before you saw it anyway. As you know, that's all hidden. You're looking for the actual electrical fence thing. That's just, you know, that's obviously something that needs to be fixed. And I looked on the dev tracker. I didn't see anything listed about it, investigating or anything. It's most likely alluded to under like visual bugs or something like that. You know, something general. And I'm not aware of any other bugs that are similar to that, that have been investigated or anything. Another thing that happened was Snipedown of Halo fame, also crashed in game 4 of the losers finals with 57 players left. Now the first match I was talking about, the one with MVP, that was the first losers bracket final. And, you know, 3 games later in game 4, Snipedown just straight up crashes. Like, what do you do? And apparently nothing. You know, he's just, you know, GG. You know, that's it for the guy.
Which really just unfair. It's like, how do you practice, get good at a game, but then lose because of system failure? There really should be terms and places that went, that match either needs to start over or have a way to just get them back in that game. Because losing because of the technology that they provide themselves, not him, should not lose you a game.
Right. And he did actually post a tweet about it. And his tweet, this is Eric Rona, who is also in the Snipedown. He says, "I am so annoyed right now. Only one team dead and I crash, yet nothing happens. Game 4, 500K event. This is absolutely unacceptable." And he's right. You know, several people have retweeted this and he has a bunch of likes. This is one of the biggest people in esports. You know, one of the biggest guys that has ever been in esports. You know, along the same vein as guys like T-Squared and stuff like that, you know, from back in the day. You don't want somebody like this criticizing you in that way, you know. He seems like a guy that's been around long enough to know when he's not good at the game versus when there's a, you know, colossal fuck up on the developer's end. This is a very, very big fuck up. They probably should have something in place, like you said. There should have been something in place for this, even if they don't have a reconnect feature in the game yet. You know, if it's being worked on or what have you. Even if they don't have that, there should be something other than just like, oh, well, you lose. Like you said, this is a $500,000 prize pool that's just going out the fucking window, you know. Waste my time, 2019. And another thing, too, I don't know if this is from the same event. It's listed as a preseason invitational. I don't know if that's talking about the same one or not.
I'm not sure. It said it was, I think. Let me double check.
Let's see.
Because it's from yesterday.
Right. No, this is the same one. It's in Poland. So same event. So basically what's going on is they're kind of doing an Overwatch League style a little bit, but there's 80 teams instead of, you know, just a couple. So there's a ton of teams, and apparently what's going on is, let me read this out a bit. So there's some controversy between players and attendants who have accused others of purposely messing up settings before matches, so like sabotage. And the situation was brought to light by Team Solo Mid's Jordan Reps Wolf, and he tweeted out a warning to people saying, quote, "Double check all your settings if you're playing today at Poland. Teams that are done playing have been changing tons of settings on windows, monitors, etc. to screw over other teams." Then he followed up with an explanation of the settings he'd run into. He says, "I highly doubt these pro players play on 60 hertz with mouse acceleration on and Windows Sense maxed out with all the monitor settings changed to be on blurry." And it wasn't just Reps who ran into the issues. However, his Pittsburgh Knights star Tyler Six Clark said he'd also witnessed problems. He tweeted, "Disgusting. Can confirm, though, at turn ZGG was on 60 hertz also. Saw it right before we started." Former Overwatch professional turned Apex Legends player Lucas Mendelkosai, I don't even know how the hell.
Close enough to me.
He noted that he had also warned Team Liquid players about the possibility of underhanded tricks beforehand. He said, "It's funny how I went over this exact scenario with my boys and told them to watch out for it," he said. "Who would have thought that inviting 80 teams wouldn't get the highest caliber teams? Shared PCs are also a huge security risk." And he's right. Also, that was dripping with sarcasm. So basically, you've got 80 teams in this invitational, and for whatever reason, I don't know why they wouldn't have. I guess what he meant was there was a problem similar to this in Overwatch tournaments. I'm guessing this is before Overwatch League, though, because Overwatch League is very tight, very well put together, very organized and officiated and everything. So I guess this is kind of around the same deal, and this comes with the territory of beginning esports for something like this, you know, before pro level. But people are just going in and fucking up all kinds of settings, just literally sabotaging the next person to use this PC. And that's really shitty of people. Like, I really couldn't imagine going in and doing that, you know. But it is also a $500,000 prize pool.
But even then, that's why they should have a tournament environment for this instead of just running on the same system that we all use normally.
Right, right. There should definitely, I agree, there should definitely be a tournament build, just like Overwatch has a tournament build. And granted, that does take time. And when, you know, when you have smaller tournaments and things like that, you know, they kind of got to work with the build they have. But this is also a sanctioned official tournament. You know, this is sponsored by, you know, Respawn EA. It's a massive tournament with a $500,000 prize pool. Like, are you kidding me?
And it's some,
you know, officiation here.
I think they have like some ESP sponsorship and stuff like that. So this is very professional levels.
Yeah. I mean, if you actually go on Twitch and watch it, like, it is very close to Overwatch League level production value. You know, it's not quite it's not on quite the same level. But Overwatch League is also probably the highest level of esports production that exists today. And you know, we went to Atlanta and watched it. Even, you know, even the live, like, being there production is just phenomenal.
But that took them like 2 years to get there. They did not have that out the gate. It was like a couple years later when they finally actually had the actual Overwatch League. Before that, everybody just had to make do.
Right. And the level that this Apex tournament is at right now is not too far behind, you know. And I'm sure that's just strictly funding related. Well, funding and interest. You know, they don't have necessarily like the big arena selling out crowds and things that Overwatch League does. You know, so it's a little bit more difficult in some ways to, you know, get that kind of production value.
But I still think they, even without like the technical parts, they could still at least keep the settings and stuff locked out, or have some officials over there who just make sure things are ready before the matches, just to double check that things aren't tweaked kind of strangely.
Right. And I don't want to, you know, go directly right out the gate and blame the developer for, you know, shit not working, because, you know, they've got bigger problems, and, you know, they probably have to have a whole other set of dudes working on, you know, tournament settings and things like that. They probably already do. And pushing that kind of shit out within a time frame between, you know, when this was announced to now, it's probably not necessarily feasible. And I'm sure that they thought about all this shit and whatever. And, you know, they're doing their best. And yeah, bugs are going to happen. There's been bugs in Overwatch League. You know, Roadhog's Hook was a prime example, and you saw that all over the place in early OWL. And, you know, there's been weird Reinhardt pins, things like that. Bugs are not unheard of, but they're also not bugs that, you know, cost you a match. And there was nothing done about a, you know, total DC. I don't know that there's ever been a history of, like, you know, complete DCs or anything like that in Overwatch. Well, not really, because you can just rejoin.
Well, there's that, and also when things do go wrong, they pause the entire game until everything's back. That's why during some of the matches, that's like the settings are like paused for a while, because they're trying to get, you know, someone to reconnect it or figure out why there's an error.
Right, right. And that's a little less feasible in a game like this, but at the same time, it's a fucking, you know, massive tournament, so it's kind of feasible. You know, even if nothing else, you know, maybe like a 3 second delay is like pausing in 3, 2, 1, you know, pause or something like that. You know, they could potentially do that. But even before all that, the officiation needs to be on this shit, you know. There seemed to be absolutely no contingency whatsoever for this kind of sabotage, and there's precedent for it, you know, as some of these other pros said. So whoever's organizing, officiating this tournament doesn't seem to be seasoned in it.
And like, no one should be surprised by anybody trying to cheat, because ever since I've tried to do competitive gaming since the early 2000s, someone's always tried to cheat at every event. So right. You have to pay attention, because if you don't stop them, they're going to do it.
Right. You know, it's not without precedent. And, you know, there's no contingency for the DC, you know, there's no, hey, what the fuck about the glitch and all, which, you know, I could kind of see the glitch. Yeah, it sucks that it cost them the match, but what are you going to do? You know, it's a glitch. It happens. Shit happens. But the other things, I can't really let go too much, and I can't blame Respawn themselves. You know, all I can do is blame the tournament officiation for slacking off and being like, what the fuck?
Like, because I'm pretty sure they could have literally just reset the game or just like had everybody start over again. It's like, it sucks you have to redo the respawns of the RNG, but I'd rather be RNG and loot, not RNG and is my network's going to keep me on the server.
Right. Well, they did have one team that dropped out because, you know, 60 players normally in a match, and there were 57 left. So there had already been a team fight happen and people taken out. Not a whole lot you can do about that. And you know, people have already looted, they've already gotten stuff, you know, that's kind of a shitty reset. But at the very least, you know, maybe, because right now it's points based, right? You have to have so many points to advance and whatever, you know, you don't necessarily have to win to advance until the very end, you know, then it's like winner takes all. So you know, maybe they could have done something about, like, you know, you have enough points at very least to advance or something like that, you know, or guaranteed, you know, next chance. This also did happen in game 4 of 4 for the loser's bracket. So it's not like they could have pushed into the next game or something like, oh, I mean, even then the spots would have been filled up. It's a sensitive situation, but they could have taken the time to have a contingency for something that's honestly not very far-fetched at all to happen, and it did, obviously.
Like, they've luckily gotten better about the DCs in the regular game, but, like, still happening in tournaments, that's where it should be happening less.
Right. And, you know, there's absolutely no telling what the DC was for. It's not listed. You know, it wasn't like a code leaf or code net or anything like that. It very well could have been a just straight-up hardware problem. You know, it's entirely feasible that it could have been something like that. You know, networks go down, shit happens. It may not have been game related at all, honestly. And it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't. And that's why I'm not ragging on Respawn too hard, because, you know, they don't have, I mean, they have control over the shit, but they don't have all, you know, infinite absolute control over this shit. And, you know, it just comes with the territory of gaming. So, I mean, honestly, officiation's shit. The game, not too far off of being esports ready, in my opinion. They're doing a lot better. They showed us that with the CodeNet, CodeLeaf fixes, and a lot of the other bug fixes that they have. Like, the most major problems that I'm seeing now are audiovisual. And granted, that, you know, that's not good, not conducive for the highest level of play, and does need to be fixed. But it's also not usually going to cost you the game. Yeah. Now the Watson thing, I had never seen that before, and I am assuming that the devs are like, oh shit, about that.
It's weird stuff. Stuff happens all the time. Like, certain times I've been knocked down and had my guns still working. Those are weird bugs that I've only been able to have once or twice.
Right. Not consistent. And that's enough. Actually an old bug that was brought up in the tracker and has been fixed now. As far as that goes, I don't think I actually have any new dev tracker stuff. Now the patch that we talked about last time, where it was coming in future patch, has been put through. CodeNet and CodeLeaf are no more, as well as some audiovisual fixes. They're still investigating some of the audio stuff, and I wonder if they pushed that through right before the tournament on purpose.
More than likely, because that's been one good thing about my week, was I haven't been disconnected in 2 weeks now. It's been wonderful.
Right. And also, if you guys do want to watch the tournament, I believe it is continuing tomorrow. I don't know exactly what time, but it is on Twitch at Play Apex. It's actually a really good tournament, you know, despite the problems. Yep. And I will definitely be watching it every chance I get when I have downtime at work.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think the first day they had some issues with watching with the videos. It would get stuck on people who are dead. So you were just watching someone's just dead for a while, not seeing any gunplay.
And, you know, that's not game issues. That's the camera dude issue.
Yeah.
You know, officiation, all that shit.
I think they fixed it out. They figured it out and they got that fixed.
Right. I wonder if it's just like some dude straight up in like some super complex OBS setup or something. I don't know what they use for this kind of thing. I'm sure it's some fancy ass software.
You'd be surprised how not fancy a lot of this equipment is.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of
yeah. That's your field of work.
A lot of stuff looks more complicated than it actually is.
Right.
Because like, it's only
I could do some crazy shit with OBS, especially old school OBS where you could have scripts and stuff. Oh, and let's see. Oh, the last thing we want to touch on, the crypto stuff. So you read a bit about this, didn't you?
A little bit about the new crypto coming out, and they've leaked some of his abilities.
So right.
Pulled it back up.
All right. So walk us through a bit of this.
All right. It looks like some data miners have now, after the Voidwalker event came out, they've data mined some of his new abilities. And it looks like he's going to get a drone that for like 40 seconds he can use to survey the area and get positioning on people, as well as he can use it to retrieve teammates' banners, which seems kind of amazing. The only thing I'm wondering about that ability is, how do you control it? Where's your regular body doing? Is it doing something separately, or I haven't figured that part out yet.
I'm not sure either. If you have the ability to recover banners and stuff, I assume that's not automatic. It can be destroyed. It can be destroyed by opponents. It can, from what this says, it can hack doors and loot bins, and it can even pick up banners of fallen teammates. So,
but what does that hacking do? Does that lock the door? Does it make it a...
I'm not sure. There are some larger doors in the game, especially in places like artillery, that cannot be broken down. And I mean, even locking regular kickable doors, you know, that's still a lot of extra time that people have to spend kicking the damn door down. So that's very interesting. Yeah, okay. I'm sure it can hack like Watson's ultimate and probably caustic traps and things like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of still surprised he's coming out early, because I feel like they need some more legends that you can actually use the EMP strike, his hacking ability on, because it looks like his ultimate's like an EMP strike, probably similar to Sombra from Overwatch's EMP.
Right. It probably blocks abilities like altogether, very much like Sombra. That's what did it say, a 200 meter range?
That was for the robot had a 200 meter range. And
oh, okay, got you.
They didn't actually give a range for the EMP.
I was going to say, a 200 meter range for an EMP, that's a fucking huge EMP. That'd be a total game changer.
That's a, yeah, 200 meters is a large vicinity. If you EMP that many people, you'd be hurting a lot of teams. Though in certain parts of the map, that'd be quite funny. So yeah, I try user ability and then, oh, okay, back to guns.
Yeah. You know, it would be the best. You get a, oh God, what's his name now? I never fucking use the guy, Big Boy.
Gibraltar or
Gibraltar, Custer. Gibby. I keep wanting to call him Gibby from that stupid Drake and Josh clip.
How you doing, brother?
I keep wanting to call him back because someone did a video and edited it so that Gibraltar was in place of the guy falling. And he's just like, Gibby! Oh God!
I love Gibby. He's one, even though he's hard to use, he's still one of my favorite legends.
Oh man! But it would be hilarious. You get a Gibraltar throwing down his shield and calling his airstrike, you know, to, you know, get some shit done, and you go in and fucking hack the shield. You're like, oh shit, bro!
I'm safe. Oh no!
Just kill their, they make their entire team just commit suicide.
They're all in the bubble, like, oh no.
Honorable Seppuku, sorry. Oh man.
Oh, you'll be fine.
Let's see. It also works as a surveillance camera. So the fact that it acts as a surveillance camera can be done one of two ways. And you either have like a HUD display camera, that you can see while you're running around and doing shit, or you control this thing remotely and it leaves you open, kind of like Junkrat Tire. And if it does a lot of stuff, especially like, you know, since you can recover mana and stuff like that, if you can do a whole lot of shit with this thing, then maybe that's, you know, a good balancing thing, you know.
But it does leave you, if you're controlling it, it leaves you super vulnerable to a game where you're, if you die, you're gone, unless they risk right. Get your banner.
That is really interesting. It would make, for a good, like, stay behind person. You know, a lot of time, some of the fat boys like to stay behind and, you know, kind of support their guys that are pushing hard, you know, their aggro teammates. Like, you stick back and support them. So maybe this is that kind of thing, you know, stick back, you know, send your drone out to help in the fight and then come back online and, like, you know, start sniping things of that nature.
Or just put three gas traps up in front of him, just block his body.
Yeah. I don't know. And this is actually not that one mining guy that posted a lot. I think that one mining guy has had a lot of information, but this particular information we're reading is from Mini Guy W, who is another data miner.
And also the image. I like the image that they show of Crypto, and this one's a bit different than some of the earlier images because he has more dreads. And some of the images I saw that were released, he had just a regular haircut.
Right.
Not sure if there's been a redesign or not.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's very, very possible. They also did have a teaser. And it was a failed hacking attempt, apparently.
Yeah.
And pretty much what's happened, it all began when players loaded into matches and found screen showing a loading bar with no further context. And it said BNR-DS key decrypt, and it had a progress bar, and it would slowly increase over time in game. And once the bar hit 100%, the King's Canyon announcer's voice began to distort, and an odd computer code began filling the large screens that hang from the canyons and hillsides, you know, the ones that have, like, Kill Leader, etc. After a short while, though, the voice became clear again, and the test and the text attempt failed appeared in large letters on the same screens, indicating that whatever Crypto was up to just kind of failed. And no one really knows what's going on. A leaker called Real Apex Leaks took a look at everything, and I will post a link to that in our show notes with his breakdown. Nothing too terribly interesting. Some fun little calls to dev names in there, and some speculative things about what some of this code can mean. And it's kind of hard to say that, you know, it's kind of hard to deny this isn't like a huge teaser for Crypto. But we don't know for sure even now that he will be the next one. There are two other heroes who I don't have the information pulled up. I'll have to get their names and bring them up next show because there's no real information about them yet other than, the one that we, the Torbjorn clone that we talked about.
I think the names are Rosie and Nomad.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, nobody didn't seem to have an image, but Rosie had a lady's face. But the name is, these names, kind of generic. Nomad, I guess, kind of could be like some kind of tracker, like a Bloodhound, but it's hard to tell right now.
Right, and Nomad could just be like a stand-in name right now within the development community or within the developers. You know, it's like, we don't have a name for this guy. We're just gonna call him Nomad. Kind of like the FGC calls Vega Claw and, you know, Bison Dictator because of the weird thing. Excuse me. But that's all speculation right now. And we'll definitely be keeping you up to date on all of this fancy stuff. So we are approaching about 50 minutes in the show. That's good enough for me.
We made it work.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to start our closing up. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for listening. You can catch us on Twitter at Dropping Spicy. Do you have any social media info you'd like to hand out?
Oh, of course. You can find me on most platforms at Kurabara and on Twitter at Kurabaris. It would have been Kurabara, but someone took it somehow. I don't know why.
Those damn weebs, man. Mm-hmm.
And I'm also on twitch.tv/Kurabara. I just love that's my favorite name. So try to keep it all the same.
Those damn weebs got me, Yusuke. I need to work on that voice. I'm not too bad at it, but I could be better. And of course, you can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Origin, YouTube, and what have you as Nerfkinder, please. That's PLS. Still working on that damn YouTube video because I don't have time and I do a lot of work on literally everything else. And I just don't feel like it a lot of time.
What's adult life?
Right, right. See our last episode for the answer to that. You can also find the Mash Those Buttons Network on Twitter at The Mash Network. Please join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord at discord.me/mashthosebuttons and send us your Apex feedback, stories, and questions on that platform. Don't forget to share the show and... I fucked that all up. Please don't forget to share the show with others and rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, what have you. And don't forget to leave us a nice review. And I don't know who you are. I don't know where you live. But somebody went and gave us a little one-star review. It didn't say shit. We got every single other review we've got. And then one-star review. Like, we pissed somebody off. I don't know who we pissed off. But fuck you, buddy.
Those Enter the Apex guys, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't want to call out other podcasts, you know, because I don't have any beef with them. Like, I'm cool with like all the other podcast guys. It was probably somebody I offended somehow. It's happened before. Just ask Ja. But you know, it's not like he can bad review us twice, so fuck you, buddy. But all the rest of you, you know, leave us a nice review. Even if you're gonna leave a 1-star review, you know, at least tell me in my face, fuck you.
Or let us know how we can improve to make it go from a 1 to a 5. Either way.
Right. Right. Fuck me yourself, you coward. yeah, you know, don't forget to leave us reviews and shit. I got off on a tangent there. It was just the anger taking over. I had a J for shit moment there for a second. you freeloading ass at you. Please show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. Tiers and content are available for as little as $1 a month. We also have a Teespring store at teespring.com/stores/mashthosebuttons. That's going to be it from me and my new boy, Kurabara. Please stay tuned after the show to hear about the other shows on the Mash Those Buttons Network. Until next time, stay spicy.
Later, guys.
Thank you for choosing a Mash Those Buttons podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you would like to subscribe to one of our shows, you can find us on multiple podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you can't find us on your favorite podcast platform, head over to mashthosebuttons.com, grab the RSS feed, and use it in your podcast platform of choice. We have shows for many different games, so if you want to check out some other podcasts you may enjoy, you should go to mashthosebuttons.com/shows or stick around to hear about other shows that are available this week. Mash Those Buttons is an independent outlet that is supported by patrons. If you enjoy our content and want to help us grow, you can become a patron for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. Besides helping us expand our content, patrons gain early access to special content and also have access to exclusive supporter-only content. If you'd like to stay connected with Mash Those Buttons, you can follow us at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or we'd love to have you join our Discord community at discord.me/MashThoseButtons. Once again, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, this is Ramses from Push the Point, the Mash Those Buttons official Overwatch League podcast. Tune in every Tuesday where me and my co-host LaBosco break down player performances, storylines, and the league at large.
Hi, this is Chrissy from the Final Fantasy XIV podcast, Wondrous Tales. Come hang out with us every other Monday for a casual discussion of what's going on in the community and some tips to improve your in-game quality of life.